96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
We are so grateful that the jurors were able to understand the common sense of it all. And we will continue to stand, and we will continue to wait for justice for Jordan.
That's the mother of 17-year-old Jordan Davis on Saturday night after the verdict in the so-called loud music murder trial. Big questions remain tonight about common sense and the law in the wake of the trial in Florida. Michael Dunn was found guilty of 3 counts of attempted murder, but not guilty of murder in the death of Jordan Davis. So what's going on here? Where do we go from here? Well, we are at the Legal Roundtable tonight to discuss the issues with criminal defense attorney Bobby Henry and Howard University law professor Lenice Herbert. If you want to get in on this conversation, and I know you do, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Attorneys Henry and Herbert, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get right to the meat of this. Jordan Davis's mother spoke about common sense, and she also talked about the law. Ladies first, Ms. Herbert, what does that mean to you? We know that the jury followed the law based on, you know, all of the things that have come down, but common sense would say, well, wait a minute, we've got a dead kid here, and no conviction on that, but three teenagers alive and a conviction on that. Can you break that down for me?
Well, you say common sense, but essentially what we're doing is talking about the law. Sometimes they meet, sometimes they don't. And certainly to the extent that you have any sort of question about what the actual intent of the killer was, and you give a jury choices as to what that intent might have been, there can be, in fact, disagreement. If you have a standard, for example, for first-degree murder that requires some premeditation, some deliberation, well, some jurors may think, well, maybe he didn't think about it sufficiently long enough. Now, under the law, that deliberation can occur in a blink of an eye. And some may not think that's long enough common sense-wise. They can't imagine how in a blink of an eye someone can think about killing. Others absolutely can see that. Also, to the extent that there's any understanding of the individual's perception as being perhaps reasonable or unreasonable. You can have a disagreement about that as well. And so, and then we've got another lesson included that's involved at somewhere between sort of a manslaughter, adequate provocation, and first degree, which is like second degree, where the jury sometimes kind of splits the baby. So this notion of common sense, well, they've got to place what the prosecution gave them against what the law requires. And there can be disagreement over what mental state the killer had when the killer, in fact, did kill.
Mr. Henry, obviously, we heard reports before the verdict came down that jurors were heard arguing in the jury room. While certainly that is not uncommon, obviously, as Attorney Herbert is saying, there was some disagreement, and that's why we didn't get first degree. But when you're certainly talking about, first degree, and how do you prove it? How long does someone have to think about it? As she suggested, premeditation. Is it a day? Is it an hour? Is it a few minutes? Is it seconds? Help me with that.
No, well, good evening. And with regards to the amount of time for premeditation in Florida, as a number of jurisdictions, there is no set time. There just absolutely is no set time. If you pull up into the gas station, which this guy certainly did, he pulled his car alongside the car that the four teenagers were in, and he heard the noise, and pretty much he took action. He indicates that there was a shotgun that was pointed at him. However, no shotgun was ever found. And so at what point did he decide to commit this act? You have to look at the totality of the circumstances, and you have to look at, you know, all the shots that were fired. There were approximately 10 shots that were fired in there. And at what point did anything ever come back to him? So when he says that, or when they say that their reasonable minds can differ as to premeditation, I think that there's something else that is going on here, and it's not just premeditation.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We're talking about the so-called loud music murder trial in Florida. Let me go to Kia. Kia, you're calling from Jacksonville. You say you fear for your four-year-old son. Why do you say that?
I say that because you think with everything that's been going on, I have a four-year-old son, and, you know, if you say, okay, someone can gun him down in the street, you know, like an animal, and you stand your ground law, say that he was just afraid, and that's the only justification behind that, when what happened to the option of leaving? This person got out of their vehicle or came beside their vehicle to gun these, you know, kids down. What about the option of leaving and calling the police? In neither one of the cases, that option wasn't utilized, where they could have walked away. These are adults that are taking personal civil action against young children.
Interesting. Kia, we're going to answer that question on the other side of the break at our legal roundtable. 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the legal roundtable tonight to discuss the so-called loud music murder trial in Florida with criminal defense attorney Bobby Henry and Howard University law professor Lanice Herbert. If you can't get through, we will take your call after 7:30. Just please keep trying. I promise we will get to your phone call. Before the break, we were talking to Kia, and Kia was saying that she is concerned about the safety of her son and asks the question about Michael Dunn and having the ability to or having the option to retreat. You know, Attorney Herbert, help me with that, because, again, that seems to me common sense. If you're afraid, you know, why sit there and pull out the gun? Why not back up? Why not leave? From a legal perspective, you know, why didn't we hear that argument pressed in court?
You know, it's a great question, and I appreciate and respect Kia's concern. I was with the mom of two little boys last evening, and we talked exactly about how she should deal with this. And the father wanted to know as well. So I absolutely understand the need to tell your children something, but not to terrify them from living a full and amazing life. That said, again, as I said early on, common law versus the law, sometimes they just don't match. And so to the extent that we have this concept of stand your ground, not only in Florida, by the way, let me just be very clear about that, but across at least 24 other states in the United States, this notion of stand your ground is essentially one that sort of turns the old law, if you will, on its head. This notion that you have to, if you have an option, the old law is common law typically, and what law still exists in some jurisdictions, if you have an ability outside of one's home, outside of the castle, you know, the man, woman's home, their own castle, so there's no need to retreat in your home if you're being threatened with your life or some loved ones in the home. Well, stand your ground turns it on its head and says, even in a public place where you otherwise would have a duty to retreat, you don't have to. But let me just say this, this notion of leaving, and the point is well taken, because the prosecutors could have infused that more. See, here's the real secret about this case. This was not a stand your ground case as the law is written. That requires a preliminary hearing before trial that would allow him to have immunity from prosecution. But what they do that is so crafty, and I try to teach this to my students all the time, use the law and the language to get what you need. And so what they did was not, in fact, assert stand your ground, but use all of the lovely language in the jury instructions that really are in favor of this defendant. And so it sounds like stand your ground when, in fact, it really is not. But they use the benefit of that language to make it seem like any fear he has, any fear, not even a reasonable one, is sufficient for him to do exactly what he did. So I'll just say this notion of common sense, surely. He should have done what we all do. Mm-hmm. Just walk away.
Yeah.
Temporary location.
Thank you so much, Kia. Attorney Henry, you wanted to make a comment?
I was just going to say that, you know, this thing about the notion to retreat, you know, if you think about even the case that happened down in Arkansas where the young girl was killed on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
They were going back.
Playing a prank.
Playing a prank.
Right.
But the analogy here is that in Arkansas, they have sort of an expanded castle doctrine, if you will. And the castle is a man's home is his castle. You can defend your castle. They extend it to the perimeters of your property. So, but in Florida here, the thing that has become so critical is the precedent that has been set by the George Zimmerman trial.
Well, let's get to that after the break. Also, we're going to talk about the question a lot of people are asking, is this a war on young black men? I want to hear what you think about that as well. If you were on the phone, Andrea, Kimberly, Reese, Daryl, Earl, please stay with me. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Don't forget, if you go to the Daily Drum page of WHUR.com later on this evening, you will hear excerpts from this conversation. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.